Louisa Gibb. I'm the founder of Flat Space Art. We are doing a regular podcast called Space of the Art. And today we're discussing the Royal Academy Summer Exhibition. Were you one of those artists that were cherry-picked to exhibit your works this year? This year is the 251st exhibition. And joining me, I have Janet Lance-Hughes.
Hello.
She was a senior lecturer at Central St Martin's, a fellow of the Royal Society of Arts. She also sits on the board for the Education Fund for the British Fashion Council. She had a fashion label in the 80s that was stocked in many, many well-known stores such as Harrods and Harvey Nichols, and global ones as well as Cebu in Japan and so on. And also we have Elizabeth Power.
Hi there.
And she is one of those very lucky cherry-picked artists by the Royal Academy to exhibit her work. So we're going to be asking her why she thinks she was chosen. I mean, it's obvious to me because her artworks are absolutely amazing and they are stunning. We also have Janet's beautiful florals as well. So I understand why I love their artwork. But we're going to be discussing the merits of the Royal Academy. So I'd like to just open up the conversation with what is the summer exhibition. So Janet, would you introduce yourself and just explain to all of our listeners, you know, what the summer exhibition is? Is it a good thing for artists to do?
I have been going to the summer exhibition over years, I can't say how many. And it has its ups and downs, and particularly one thing that I feel about the summer exhibition is that this year, in contrast to many previous years, the environment was actually much more pleasant to be in. I think that a lot of kind of work has taken place to improve the air in the galleries, which used to be deadly claustrophobic. And with that colossal amount of work in your face, you sort of felt that you were going to faint in there. It was just all too much. But now that the light has improved and the air has improved, and I sort of feel a little bit
experience.
It's a much nicer experience and a little bit more capable of focusing on some of the paintings. However, I can't say that I do look at all the paintings by any stretch of imagination. You walk in, you think, wow. And it's quite good to go with somebody who is a bit sort of organised, who'll say, oh, come and look at this.
Yes. So just to explain to our listeners, the Royal Academy is an exhibition and there was something like 15,000 entries this year, and only 1,200 are actually picked. The actual selection committee, so the selection committee, which we'll come on to, which I think is incredibly interesting, you know, why are they the people that are on the committee? And so we have many of those people who we'll talk about, but they are royal academians, aren't they? They are learned, they know what they're doing, you know, but again, what does that mean, they know what they're doing? What have they... What have they gone over? What are their hurdles to have become a Royal Academian?
Oh, well, I think for a start, these people have a point of view and they strongly stand by that point of view, not going to be directed by other people out of a weakness of their own. I think that's a very key point for being a good person to select.
100%.
So... very, very great congratulations to Liz, who was in it last year.
Yes. Well done, Liz.
Thank you.
Excellent.
So why do you think you were cherry-picked? Because it is, in terms of being, it's a very small number of people that get picked.
It is a small number, and it's actually smaller than I think people realise, because the show only, I don't know, it's probably only about maybe maximum 30% of the actual exhibition is from people who have submitted. The rest is either from members who of the RA or other artists who have been invited by whoever's curating it that particular year to exhibit as well. So it's a tiny amount. And then if you think that of those people that have submitted, it's also, so that's divided between painters, between architects, between sculptors. So actually within your field, it's, you know, only a couple hundred really of people that actually get through.
Yeah, but also it's global. You're up against artists globally.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think a lot of it is probably potluck, but I think, and there's artists who, you know, who will regularly submit you know, year by year, and sometimes they get lucky and sometimes they don't. And I think it depends on who's curating it that particular year. For me, the piece that I entered was a very kind of bursting image of flowers. In the particular year, Grayson Perry said that I want this to be a big celebration. So that's why I think that my painting got in that year, because it was quite a happy, positive, you know, full of life painting. And I think that's my, I personally think that's why he liked it, or why the team of people.
So Grayson Perry, for all of you, is known, isn't he, as being very, well, very fun.
Flamboyant, very, very young-minded, very strong in his view on life.
Yes.
And happy to change the conventions, break down convention.
And I definitely think the show last year, I was so pleased. If I'm going to be in it, that was the year I was really happy to be in.
Yeah.
Because, and I actually had never submitted before, but I was just like, this looks like a, you know, it's a 250th, and he's got such a fun eye, and I just knew it was going to be. And also, he's so prolific these days, so I knew it would get a lot of press coverage as well,
yeah,
more than other years comparatively. And yeah, it was just such an exciting year to do it.
They say that they judge democratically on merit, and that the final selection is made during the 8-day hang in the galleries.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So basically, there's two stages. So you get the first round, you submit online, and then they view everything digitally, and then they invite, if they like the digital image, they'll invite you to drop your work off at the RA for a viewing in person. And then basically the judging panel, they'll sit there, and the art handlers will literally parade these paintings in front of them, and they're sort of like, you know, yes, no, yes, no. So, and they also have a maybe pile as well, I think, and then a friend of mine who I met at the show, she'd submitted two paintings. One of them went through and one of them didn't, and she saw on like the back of the one that didn't, it had like, you know, the kind of markings for like, oh, maybe, not sure, kind of thing. But yeah, it can be quite, I think it would be tough had I have got through the first round and then they'd seen it in person and had not liked it, then I think I would have found that
quite disappointing.
Disappointing,
yeah,
I think, because you build your hopes up, you know, you're dropping it in the work there. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, that makes you think, doesn't it, for all of those artists, you know, we were talking earlier about this, you know, is it something very sad for artists if they don't get in?
I think that depends on the character of the artist. I think you do have to be a bit tough in this field. You know, you can't break your heart every time you're turned down. It's just like every area of life.
Would you advise an artist to go for this?
I think, again, that's very dependent on the nature of the artist, because I can quote one friend who didn't get beyond the digital stage and was very confused about why was that. Mm. And the why was that, well, actually, it doesn't matter. You know, the why was that is what's next.
Yes.
Don't hang on what's over.
Yes, yes, yes. Always look forward, right?
That's right.
Mm.
And I think, I know a number of artists who I think are, you know, pretty prolific and very talented, and who do just, you know, habitually do it every year.
Mm.
And, you know, sometimes they get in, sometimes they don't. And I know that they're good artists, you know, and they have been accepted. So obviously, you know, they've got that.
I think that's really interesting. So what you're saying is that if you know the vision of the Royal Academia,
mm-hmm,
then you know what type of art to put in front of them.
Yeah, basically, or you can give it a good shot anyway.
Absolutely.
That's why I applied last year, because I thought my work would be potentially appealing to Grayson Perry and the rest of the team. There were a lot of painters at Humphrey Ocean who actually ended up having my painting in his room. I just had hoped that potentially they would get what I did. This year I didn't think there would be much point applying, because it was a lot more.
Do you think that they wouldn't accept the same artist twice?
I think they do, but I think
I've heard they do.
But because like my work was used on their posters and cards last year, I just figured that it would be surprising if they then did use me again if something was quite prolific and wouldn't show. I just didn't see the point. And I felt no kind of, well, maybe I'll apply next year, we'll see, or maybe the year after. And you know, it's a great experience to be involved in, so why not? But I looked at the people that were judging it this year, and I thought it would be a lot more architectural, maybe a bit more graphic, and I just didn't really think that I'd be right for it this year.
Janet, what did you think of the exhibition this year?
I'm not a good person to sort of record an awful lot of what I've seen there, but the two or three things that really did leap out at me were fantastically textured, and I, you know, you come away from something with a memory, and you pull up in your head Royal Academy, and what comes into my eye was a wonderful painting of a great big ship, which is on the front of the little book, as it happens.
Right.
I didn't see that till afterwards. But also a fantastic collection of crows. And I don't know what, I think you call a collection of crows a parliament of crows, don't you? So there
yes,
they
yes.
were. And they were made, and there was also a kind of a wonderful straw sculpture balancing on a great big tyre, straw and plaster. And they were fabulously, you know, magnetising, because flat stuff can sometimes be a bit difficult to keep looking at when you, when you've gone through the first sort of two rooms.
Yeah, you need to mix it up, don't you?
Yes,
they do that quite well, I feel.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So how they did it this year, they say, was that each academician had their own room.
That's
and they
right.
selected the works for those rooms. Surely you probably got a better chance of being included in the exhibition if your piece is small.
Well, that's something I've never really thought about at all, but there are a lot
I've
of small
that.
Paintings there.
I've heard that a lot.
Yes.
I've read a lot of advice on applying, and they always say you've got a much better shot if you enter a small painting. And a lot of people I met had done that.
Yes.
Particularly last year there was the yellow room, which was the Grayson Perry room, and you know, some of the works were tiny. And
yes. However, what about the rug?
I think
that was enormous, wasn't it?
The big impact, like, pieces generally are bigger. And I think if I kind of entered a medium size, it was like 60 by 80 centimetres, so it wasn't small, but it wasn't massive either. I think I would try and get a large one in if I could, because they get a lot more attention, but it is harder. It's just harder to get it in. So it has to be really outstanding if you're going to enter a really large piece.
Yes. So if you were on the cuff of a maybe,
exactly.
it could fall
exactly.
the wrong way,
yeah.
right?
If we're on a smaller scale, then you're more likely to get fitted in, I guess.
So if we were advising artists, and there were, because you know, there's a lot of artists that will listen to this, you know, and we're saying to them, okay, listen to each one of those Royal Academians and find out, you know, where they are publishing their information.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as you know that they're on the board, you actually want to follow their sense of style.
Research.
So when do you find out who is on the board?
I think it's all, I'm trying to remember, I think it was all sort of announced at the beginning of the year, and then you apply in like February, March time, I think.
So you have got a good 8 to 12 weeks to do your homework.
Yeah, you do.
And
definitely.
Follow that academian.
But then also you don't want to bend your style too much. Like, you know, you want
to... You've got to be true to yourself.
Exactly. So it's more of
a
case of...
I mean, that's another
like,
subject, isn't it?
Yeah. So for me, it's more of a case of like, is this a year that I think would be suitable to what I do?
Yes.
Or not, you know, judging on who's on the panel.
Yes.
But I think, yeah, I mean, it's always probably worth giving it a go. Another thing that's a good tip is if you do prints, like the year I was in, they had a whole print room upstairs, and they sold amazingly well because... you know, you can, yes, you have the one piece that's framed there, but then you can have another whole 50. So if there's people coming in, they don't feel, you know, if they love the piece, there's still a chance to own
it. It caters for all budgets, doesn't it? That's the wonderful thing about the exhibition. I did notice this year that pieces were, you know, for sale from £250 up to, you know, I saw 29,000 and so on and so on. But so it really does cover for all budgets, which is lovely.
Definitely.
Great for the artist. And you know, it's it does sell.
Yeah, I think that for me as an artist, the brilliant thing about being in it is that you're in an exhibition also with some superstars. You know, because they invite really, you know, renowned artists to be in it. So, you know, I can say that I've exhibited with David Hockney, with Anselm Kiefer, with Tracy Emin, because they were in that show, and that's a really cool thing. But you know, you're also, you make brilliant friends as well. I formed. There was a group of about 20 female artists that were all in the year I was in, and we formed like a collective, and we've since exhibited together, and we all met from doing that, and that's been fantastic. And we've still got like a WhatsApp group. We're always like constantly trying, okay, well, where can we next exhibit, where can we next do that, and it's so that's been brilliant. And there was a number of other different artists that I've met that, you know, you just wouldn't necessarily get the chance to. So it was from a networking point of view, I guess, as well, it's been really good.
On the selection panel this year, there was Stephen Chambers, Anne Desmond, I hope I say these correctly, Hugh O'Donoghue, Timothy Hyman, Barbara Ray, Bob and Roberta Smith, and Jane and Louise Wilson, Spencer de Grey, and then the president of the Academy is, of course, Christopher LeBrun, yeah?
Yeah, I love Christopher LeBrun, his work's so brilliant.
Yeah, and it's interesting because each one had a separate room, but I'd love to know who had the overall responsibility of the feel and the flow, because Janet, you said the flow was wonderful, didn't you?
I think that it was very manageable for someone viewing. I think it was the rooms, you know, the fact there was the first room that you came into was all about animals. It was a very composed, very organized right. series of paintings. So remembering the Royal Academy is, it's a big show for the whole of the country, if not for the whole of the globe. People come there touching into their experience of art. They may not go to another exhibition in the whole year.
Yes.
So it's very, very special to people who aren't necessarily artists to be able to have their moment with art. And I think the good thing that I noticed this year was that it was a very manageable exhibition from that point of view. If you don't have any connections with art, it's kind of
it's accessible and fun.
Very accessible, very understandable.
Yeah.
So first room, animals, and then it was another whole room which was based on the us being conscious of our eco sensitivities and that sort of thing. And then a print room, then obviously a models room, architectural model room, and it was kind of well organised, to put it like that.
Yeah, no, it was just such a fantastic thing to be part of, right from, you know, hearing you accepted to then getting the post with the invite to the varnishing day, which was just such an amazing experience. So basically, it's originally, varnishing day would have been when the artists mainly used oil paints, and it was their last chance to come in and basically finish up their work before it was
touch up or something like that. Yes.
And actually on the day I went in, there was one old school painter in there doing exactly that, which was really brilliant. But I'd long since finished mine. I was like, no, it's done. But that is such a really lovely tradition, and it's only the artists from the show, and you go in, you meet everyone, you get to see the exhibition before it's
and this is the
phone.
Day before the private view.
I think a couple of days before, so it's before anyone else is invited, and yeah, you can't bring anyone. It's incredible. It's literally just the artists in the show, and of course there's a lot of famous artists there as well, so that's really exciting. And it's just such wonderful traditions. So you arrive there, you congregate in like the courtyard out the front, and then there's a steel band playing, and then they sort of ring these bells, and they basically then take you out of the Royal Academy and parade with the steel band. There's like a procession along
down
Piccadilly, down to the church that's on there, and they put on this, I think it was like an hour, like this a ceremony for the artists, which was actually, I mean, I was actually pregnant at the time, so it was quite stressful for me because I was really hot. I was like, well, I can't miss out on this experience, it's brilliant.
Yes.
But it's also quite ironic, like Christopher LeBrun sort of said to us afterwards when we went back to the Academy, he was like, you know, it's a sense of irony that there's a lot of very liberal artists in a church, but it was, I think everyone kind of went with it. It was just really, it's such a historic event that it was nice to be in there and know that only a very small amount of people have experienced that. And the actual, opening was really lovely. There was, you know, sort of, obviously again, I didn't have it, I was pregnant, but lots of champagne and everything was flowing. It was lovely to just
you
went to
it again though, yeah?
I know,
yeah.
That for me was the most magical thing about being in the RA, was being part of this like secret varnishing day, which was really brilliant. And I didn't really take any of the art in that day. I had to go around numerous times afterwards to really absorb it. But
and there's so much history of this, isn't it? Because, I mean, as we've said, this is the 251st exhibition.
Absolutely.
As in, it's been running 251 years, you know?
There's so much history to it. And, you know, the stories of, like, with Turner and Constable. For example, there was a varnishing day story where I believe this is right. They turned up, and Turner, I think, had seen Constable's painting, and then he was jealous at something that he'd done, so then he came in and then added like a red splash onto his painting, and then suddenly it was much more groundbreaking and interesting, and there was always a rivalry between them. But there's just so much about that particular event, and to be part of something so historical in the art world was pretty cool. That was definitely the best bit for me.
Mm. Well done, you.
Thank you.
I like to hear that very young painter, as you are, relate so positively to something so traditional.
Okay.
And yet you've produced the work in that exhibition, which is in the exhibition you were in, which is it's a very optimistic, uplifting, it's not bogged down by the sort of nihilistic state of our world seems to have descended into. And I think that's one thing that Grayson also brought to that thing, is make everyone feel upbeat about
that's
life.
It, yeah.
It's so important.
What do you mean about nihilistic state?
Well, sort of down and ruination. There's a lot of work that you see is about, you know, that we're all finished, we're all done for,
yeah.
And it's all the rest of that. And it's just so not the way that I personally feel steered. And so it's good to see this.
No, I mean, for me, I've definitely wanted to put something, like I said, sort of celebratory into it,
yes.
Positive. There was a couple of events, he made a lot of political comments, Grayson. For example, just in his curation, so there was, someone had entered a painting of Nigel Farage, someone separately had entered a painting of someone being sick into a bucket, and he put one on top of the other.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what
so
made the show really
a joint message.
Yeah, exactly. So
yes.
He was making art out of the
yes.
art entries. And another really interesting thing from the show that I was in was that so Banksy had submitted under a pseudonym name, didn't get accepted, but then when Grayson was then inviting prolific artists to be involved in it, he invited Banksy. So then Banksy entered the work that he had got rejected into it, which I thought was
he's
really
very anti-establishment.
He is.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really funny. I didn't, you know, visually I don't particularly like the piece, but it was the idea behind it was just really
funny.
Yeah.
Funny.
So it was a really interesting year to be part of.
Well done.
So it's true to say, isn't it, that your work's actually sold even before the private view?
Yeah, it did. They there's a number of different sort of private views, and pretty much so much of the show sold out before the public were even allowed in.
Yes.
So it's from a financial point of view, which, you know, it is important as an artist. It's good
yes.
for artists to know that it is really worth. If you can get in financially, it's fantastic. Aside from the credibility of it and the experience, it is a great thing to be part of for that. And you know, not just myself, but a number of artists that I know that were in it sold so many works off the back of it because people, you know. The amount of people that walk through that show and see
the footfall
it, see
is
work.
Massive.
Footfall is
and they're
massive.
All there
something
to see
for
the
everyone.
Art. That's
yeah.
right. They're all there to
pretty
see the
much
art.
Everything sells from it because you get all different walks of life coming in. We've all got different tastes, and that's what I think is really good about it. Is it's such a mixed bag.
Mm.
So there's something for everyone there.
And then this week you've got an exhibition with Artsy, with Flat Space Art.
Yes, which is
which is just great. And then they've actually featured you as their main show next week, haven't they?
They have, yeah. Which is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a great online platform. I think it would be.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So six absolutely gorgeous pieces, available. Okay.
Wonderful.
So I think all in all, we can say that it's a real success. The Royal Academy's summer exhibition is a success. It's an exhibition selected by artists, hung by artists, and we just choose the best art and try to make sense of it on the walls. It's a truly democratic exhibition. And that was Norman Aykroyd, who was one of the summer exhibition coordinators in 2013.
And there was quite a bit, there were some of his beautiful works there
this time.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful, isn't it? That you know, they keep coming back and being part of it.
Mm.
So what we would say to all artists is that if you are rejected, it should be that it spurs you on. Just keep trying and look for all avenues and all exhibitions that you can enter.
Yeah.
I'd just really like to say thank you very much to my guest today for joining me. Thank you so much, Janet.
Thank you. It's been a revelation to me.
And thank you so much, Elizabeth. It's been such a pleasure to...
It's been great to discuss it.
Yes, we've had a really enjoyable morning, haven't we?
We definitely have. Thank
Lots
you.
Of croissants. And
So if you've enjoyed this podcast, please can you subscribe and like and, of course, follow us. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.